It is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Christ's Second Advent. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God's Word. We still get letters regarding Christ's return. I never realized that there were so many viewpoints. Some seem to think that Christ's second coming will spell doom for humanity. Some think his coming is the world's only hope, and still others don't expect him to come at all. But anyway, from our meal, it is certain that Christ's second coming is being widely discussed at the present time. But first, let me tell our listeners that this program is being sponsored by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with the many friends of Frank and Ernest and by Bible study groups. And now, Ed, tell us, is the Lord's return an event to dread or something that will bring blessings to the family of man?
According to Bible prophecies, the second coming of Christ will eventually result in wonderful blessings to all the families of the earth.
Now that may be, but one correspondent states that Christ will be revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that sounds pretty terrible.
Russell, taken by itself, yes, but there are various other prophecies pertaining to Christ's Second Advent, which portrays still different situations from the one to which you have referred. In the Old Testament prophecies, we have a somewhat similar situation with respect to Christ's first advent. Some of those prophecies referred to his birth, some to his childhood, some to his suffering and death and resurrection. Each of these was different from the others, yet they were all true and all fulfilled during the 33 and one-half years during which Jesus was on the earth as a human.
But, Ed, we are talking about Christ's second coming, not his whole sojourn, so to speak. Doesn't that make a difference?
It would make a difference if it were true. The fact is, however, that the prophecies of Christ's second advent also apply not so much to the time of his arrival as to the period of his presence.
Are you sure you are right on that point, Ed? So many of the prophecies speak of the time of Christ's coming rather than to a period of his visit.
Well, Russell, in our past discussions, we have learned the great importance of the proper translation of various Hebrew and Greek words used in the ancient manuscripts of the Bible. One of the prominent Greek words used in the prophecies of Christ's second advent is parousia. In most of the prophecies, it is translated coming, but in reality it means presence.
Is this word that is used in the disciples' question, what shall be the sign of thy coming, the word that you refer to?
Yes, it is, which means that the signs Jesus gave in answer to this question might well describe events to occur during the entire time of his second presence.
Well, that may be, but Ed, thieves do not shout either at the time of their arrival or during the period of their presence. And Jesus did say that he would come as a thief in the night. And then again, the Bible says that he will come with a shout. Can you help me?
Well, now that particular prophecy, the thief in the night, does include the time of his coming. Because this was to be true, he admonished his disciples to watch in order that they might discern the fact that he had returned.
But at another difficulty, doesn't everyone see Jesus when he returns? Why would anyone need to be especially watching in order to discern the fact that he had returned if every eye sees him?
Well, actually, Jesus will not be seen literally by the world. But, Russell, that brings up another truth with respect to this subject, which is that his second visit to earth is not as a man. At his first advent, he was made flesh for the suffering of death, but he gave his flesh for the life of the world. He was raised from the dead as a glorious divine being in the image, the Bible says, of the invisible God.
You think that is why the disciples asked concerning the signs of Christ's second presence. I see your point.
Certainly it was. If he was to come as a human, signs would not be needed to reveal the fact of his presence. We believe in the existence of God not because we have ever seen him, but because we see his works. With our limited abilities, we survey the vast universe, and we say there must be a powerful, all-wise creator who is responsible for all we see about us. And similarly, the Bible sets forth an impressive array of events which were to take place in the earth following the return of the divine Christ. If we can see the beginning of some of these events, it is logical to conclude that the parousia, or presence of Christ, must even now be a reality.
Can a Bible student now see any of these signs or events taking place?
Yes, he can.
As a matter of fact, there are a number of prophecies of his return which seem most spectacular to me. Certainly nothing similar to these prophecies describe what has yet taken place around us.
Don't be too sure, Russell. Much pictorial language is used in the prophecies of Christ's return and second presence. That is true of the prophetic shout and trumpet blowing. These expressions are pictorial of things which would occur during the early years of his presence. The shout is one of encouragement and incitement, which already has stirred up the downtrodden people and nations of earth and started them on the march looking for freedom.
But Jesus said that his presence would be as lightning, which would reach from east to west. Ed, come to think of it, that may describe the bright shining of the sun reaching from east to west. Is that what Jesus meant?
Yes, it is. His presence will usher in a new day for mankind. It will be like the sun in the sense that the enlightening influences of Christ through the agencies of his kingdom will be worldwide from east to west. But not until the work of his kingdom is complete at the end of the 1,000 years will the world be fully enlightened. So Jesus explained that the people will know of his second presence, but it will ultimately result in the enlightenment and blessing of the whole world.
But Ed, you haven't said much so far about how Christ is present as a thief in the night. I'd like you to pick that thought up.
Well, Jesus himself said that he would come as a thief, but his watching disciples discern the very early signs of his presence, and therefore are the first ones to know about it. The prophecies reveal that there would be a considerable period in the beginning of his parousia or presence when only his faithful followers would know about it, that the world in general would not know. Paul said something of the day of Christ's presence, that when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
That suggests, I presume, spasms of destructive trouble, such as the world has experienced, really, during my generation. I think that we could say that the trouble from the First World War on has come as travail upon a woman with child.
Indeed, Russell, if we notice it carefully, we'll see that it has been in increments or in spasms or periods of trouble. And that's why I said a few moments ago that only as we see the events of our day as signs of Christ's second presence can we understand their true significance. And remember this, that soon, and Russell, very soon, the distraught and fear-filled people of earth will be receiving the long-promised blessings of Christ's kingdom. I believe you have something to announce about a booklet that will make this study much more meaningful.
Yes, Ed, I do have. Friends, our sponsors have asked me to invite you to send for the little book, Our Lord's Return. It is a gift from our sponsors. To be fully informed on this subject, be sure to read Our Lord's Return. It discusses the prophecies concerning Christ's second advent in a way that you can understand. It makes the symbolic language of the prophecies simple and beautiful and rich in meaning. How can Christ come as a thief in the night and yet come with a shout? Why is it necessary to watch when the prophecies state that every eye shall see him? So send for Our Lord's Return. The little book will be sent to you without cost or obligation. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. And may I repeat the address? It is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for Our Lord's Return, and it will be sent to you free, by mail, and without any obligation. Do it today.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.